seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Isaiah chapter 35 and the 10th verse. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 10, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This word is very parallel to what we read in the 51st chapter, because there the Holy Spirit records the redeemed of the Lord shall return. And what a mercy it is if we are among the ransomed of the Lord, because not only is there a blessed prospect for the souls while they are here in time, but they have an eternal prospect in glory, in heaven at last. But what so rested upon me was this, that they shall return, which indicates that they had been afar off. They had been wandering into places where they were at odds, as it were, with the Lord, not agreeing with him or with his ways or with his commandments, but they were to be brought to return. We read in Jeremiah, so many times the Lord bid his people to return. And I would begin by looking at the children of Israel when they were in captivity in Babylon. All the bondage they felt there, all the distress they felt, and there are many things that bring us in this solemn day in which we live into bondage, into distress. You see, if we are wandering from the Lord, like backsliding, like we read in the prophecy of Jeremiah, turn, O backsliding daughter. You see, they'd backslidden into sin, they'd backslidden into worldliness and into carnality. They were not in a healthy condition. And the same when they were in Babylonish captivity. Now they couldn't bring themselves to return. It was only the Lord that could cause them to return. And really, you know, when man is born, he is born a sinner, departing from the Lord, forsaking his ways. Many of us look back in our unregenerate days and the old nature, what does it say? We will not have this man to reign over us. But what a mercy if the Lord has caused us to turn from those wicked ways, serving Satan, serving oneself, or serving man, to return to the Lord. You see, he says here, the ransom of the Lord shall return. Look at the certainty, they shall return. And we think of those that are in Babylonish captivity. The hour was to come when they should return to the Lord, whom they had forsaken, gone after other gods, forgotten the Lord. And how often we do, don't we? But what a mercy it is, the Lord causes his dear people to return. And it's a wonderful proof, if he causes us to return, that we're among the redeemed, that we're among the ransomed, and it is only they that will in reality return. Many may profess to return to the Lord. Many may say it with their lips. But you see, the Lord looks at the heart. And he alone will bring his ransomed people to return. And he will bring them back as penitent sinners, seeking and begging for mercy, pleading for the Lord to assure them that he has redeemed them. And how many of us, if we look in our hearts this evening, have asked the Lord to say to us, like he did in this sacred prophecy, that beautiful word, and may the Lord grant that we might each have the application of it. And what did he say? But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Are there those of you, firstly, that the Lord has spoken that to? And secondly, do we desire him to speak it to us? Because the real child of God wants to know from the Lord's own mouth that he has redeemed, that he has ransomed, and that he has brought them to return. And you know, we are so prone to wander, aren't we? But oh, how many times through Jeremiah's life and through those in captivity in his day did the Lord bid them to return. And may we see it today, you know, that those of us that really pray there might be a blessed return. And what we need for there to be a returning is for the Holy Spirit to return. You see, the Holy Spirit of God has been grieved. Well could the Apostle Paul, in his letters to the churches, so many times exhort them, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And why did he so exhort them that they should not grieve the Holy Spirit? Because in grieving the Holy Spirit, the Lord will withdraw the blessings that he would bestow upon his dear people. And when the Holy Spirit is grieved, the people are in bondage and in distress. Oh, yes. And really, when you look around today, for the most part, the Lord has withdrew the wondrous work of the Holy Spirit because of our sin, because of our wanderings from the Lord, our backslidings. And I preach this to myself because, you see, really, if we are truly taught of God, it's felt within the sinner's heart. And you won't better cast a stone at any other soul. It's within us. And oh, may there be the Holy Spirit so returning and convincing sinners of their sin and bringing them to flee to the Lord, to be assured he has redeemed them. Well, here we have this sweet promise. And the ransom of the Lord shall return. What I love about this is, firstly, the certainty in it. You know, the old preachers used to so often say, the Word of God is full of eternal certainties. You know, we live in an uncertain day. Many things that in our pathways are uncertain. But there are those things that are of God that are eternally certain. And here we have one of them. He says, the ransom of the Lord, those he has purchased, those he has redeemed, those he has rescued from their sin, shall return. There's no doubt about it. They shall return. And that we think of many that were have been through this schoolroom in the Sabbath school, and many sat under the ministry of your late beloved pastor all those years. But where are they today? May the Lord hasten the day that there shall be a returning. The ransom of the Lord shall unto Zion come. A good and faithful God shall bring them safely home. And it's something we need to plead with the Lord for, that there might be that blessed returning, and the returning of the Holy Spirit. And if there's a returning of the Holy Spirit, there will be a returning of God's dear people. I love what the hymn writer said. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. How often the Lord withdraws because our minds are taken up with time things when we should be considering those things that are eternal. And the Lord so often withdraws, doesn't he? Or we cast our eye and say, oh, well, we would like this or something else. And the Lord withdraws himself. What does the psalmist say? Thou hidest thy face, and they are troubled. And when the Lord hides his face from his dear people, they are troubled. And some of you may be in that tonight, and begging for the Lord yet to cause a blessed returning. A returning of the blessings known in days past, in your soul, in the churches. A returning of those blessed hours of sweet communion with the Lord. You think that I mentioned in prayer the two that journeyed to Emmaus. You look at the sweet communion there was as they journeyed to Emmaus from Jerusalem when the dear Redeemer drew near and went with them. There was a sweet communing with each other and a communing with the Lord. Oh, there was. Do you know and do I? Sweet communion with the Lord. Sweet fellowship with Him. And the ransom of the Lord shall return. And then in their returning, where will they come to? They shall come to Zion. They shall come to Zion. And come to Zion. That is, and I will look at it in a few ways. First of all, they shall come to His people. Be one with them. Like Ruth. You look at the oneness there was between dear Ruth and Naomi. Naomi was a beautiful type of the Church of God of Zion. Zion really means the Lord's people. We know there are other meanings of it, and I'll look at it in a moment, but you see, she was to be brought to His people. Oh, she was. What do we read in the blessing of Judah in the book of Deuteronomy 33? Bring him unto his people. And the Lord was to bring Judah to his people. Oh, he was. And he will bring every one of his dear ransomed, redeemed children to his people. Just as he did Ruth to Naomi. Just as he did Saul of Tarsus. Out of all the Pharisaic religion that he had, he brought him out of it all to his people. To the Lord's dear children. There's a good prayer in the hymn, isn't there? With them numbered may I be. Now and for eternity. Is that your prayer and mine? Lord, may we be with them now, but we want to be with them afterwards in glory. And then they shall come to Zion, they shall come to his house and to his church. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is, isn't it, to come up to Zion, to the place where sinners worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. They shall come to Zion. Oh, they shall. You may say, well, the Lord can bless us where'er we may be, and that is true. It may be in the busy scenes of the city, or it may be in the open fields, or it may be at the kitchen sink, or in the bedroom, and so we could name many things. We know He can, but He will bring His dear children to Zion, to His house. He loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Oh, he does. And when he makes his people very tender and humble, they want to be with the dear children of God in Zion. And then in his church. Oh, to be one of them, you see. I remember my late dear grandfather who was 82 when he was baptised, you know. He said, I sat at the back of the chapel many times, he said, and saw the Lord's servants and administer the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And he said, you know, it was deep in my heart to be among them. And the day came where the Lord made him willing. He wanted to be among them. to sit at table with his Lord and eat celestial food. And then, of course, this speaks of heaven. And come to Zion. You know, really, this is not our home, is it? In this earth. It's not the home of the child of God. I've often said what Mr. George Rose used to say, the old eminent minister. He often said it at funerals. He said, when the world die, they're leaving home. But when the child of God dies, they're going home. And you think of this, this is not your home, you see. You'll want to be in Zion, won't you? In heaven forever with the dear Redeemer. We sing in the hymn, don't we? We've no abiding city here. Sad truth were this to be our home, but should not cost the saint a tear who hopes a better rest to find. Oh, how many of the Lord's dear children long to be in eternal rest in glory with the dear Redeemer. Zion's courts above. The ransom of the Lord. That great price that he has paid, his own heart's blood, to ransom his dear children. To redeem them. Don't forget the cost, poor soul, tonight of your salvation and mine. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. And then he speaks how they shall come. Well, before I name what's in our text, you go into Jeremiah 31, where the children of Israel were to return from captivity and to come to Zion. And what do we read? They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. They shall come with weeping. There's much to weep over, isn't there? Our sin. When was the last time you and I really wept over our sin before the God of heaven? I don't mean just outward tears. I mean heart weeping before the Lord. Lord, I'm a black, vile sinner. The dear Apostle Paul knew what it was to truly feel that and to weep over his sin. And so did they in Jeremiah's day. They shall come with weeping. And why I name that is because the Word of God is very clear that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You see, if you go into Jeremiah 31, they had to come with weeping first and supplications. But then we read later on, they shall come and shall sing in the height of Zion. I love that word. They shall sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their souls shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. But they shall come with weeping. And I say that tonight. You see, weeping so often precedes the joy. Oh, it does. You look at the dear disciples, how they wept when the Saviour said, and full of sorrow, he was going away. But their weeping wasn't to be forever, was it? Their sorrow wasn't to be forever. Oh, you think of that blessed hour of the resurrection, when he saw them again, and all the joy there was in their hearts as he appeared to them. And here we have it. Then come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. But we must know the weeping first. Really, you know, the whole life of the child of God here in this time state, for the most part, is a path of weeping. The joy is set forth in glory when the Lord takes the sinner from this vale of tears. And that's why I say, for the most part, is weeping. It's a vale of tears. Oh, it is. Many things to make the child of God to weep. But before them is this blessed prospect of joy. And we have it in this text, don't we? With songs of everlasting joy. Not temporary joy, everlasting. Really, what is this? Putting it simply, it's heaven begun below. It'll be known here. It's like one of the dear old saints said years ago, when I get to heaven, he said, I shan't sing for the first time. Why? Because he'd sung here in this earth. He knew what it was to praise the Lord here, and I believe all those that are now landed in heaven with the dear Redeemer knew what it was to sing here. But the difference will be the singing and glory will be far better. You know, there's been some sweet singing here in this earth, hasn't there? Firstly, in our souls, when we can sing forth his praise, and secondly in our worship, when, oh, the singing. I shall never forget on one occasion I came out of Ashwell Chapel, and the singing that day had been beautiful. In those days there was nearly a chapel full, and there were a lot that loved music and the singing. And it was very sweet. And I shall never forget it, you know. I came out and I thought, I would like to just say to my late dear father about this singing. Because he loved music. But, you know, I thought, well, I can't, because he's now in glory. And, you know, as I thought of it, the verse of the hymn dropped in so sweetly. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing his power to save. And I thought, you know, the dear man didn't want to hear the singing here. It was a better song in glory. And that seemed really sweet to me, you know. A better song in glory. Unto him that loved us and washed us in his own heart's blood. With songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And then it says this, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You know, there's a wonderful prospect here, isn't there, really, for the child of God. Thy shall obtain joy. Some of you may be wading through some very heavy things, and it may be in the past few weeks you thought, well, how can I continue? How can I go on in the journey? Thy shall obtain joy and gladness. And the day will come when you will obtain it, poor soul, if you're among these in this text. Joy and gladness. And there are many things that will cause joy. Let me name just one or two. Firstly, when the Lord comes and visits the souls of his dear people with his everlasting love, and they obtain joy. The love of Christ flowing into the heart of the child of God will turn all your sorrow into joy. And then the second thing is this. When the Lord favours us with his sweet and sacred presence, he just fills your heart, fills your soul with his sweet presence. I love that verse of the hymn, in thy presence I am happy. In thy presence I'm secure. In thy presence all afflictions we can easily endure. And you know, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord to the real ransomed child of God. He brings everything with him when he comes. You know, I often think of that prayer the Lord Jesus taught the dear disciples. And it's been quoted many, many times, the Lord's Prayer, referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. And you know, when the Lord comes and visits his dear people with his sweet presence, he brings the blessings of the kingdom with him. Oh, he does. Thy kingdom come. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? Do you know what it is to pray? Lord, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. And oh, you think of it tonight. Thy shall obtain. Just let's have a word about this obtain it before I leave it. Thy shall obtain. You know, many may look at the word of God, many may read it, but how many have obtained the blessings there are in it? Thy shall obtain joy and gladness. You know, it's one thing to look at something, it's another thing to obtain it, isn't it? Let me name two things. One is, what did the Apostle Paul say when he went before Agrippa and those nobles? He said this, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. He knew what it was to obtain that help. And poor soul, may the Lord favour you and favour me to obtain it. And what's in our text? And they shall obtain joy. You may say, what, such a poor sinner as me obtain joy? Yes. Obtain joy and gladness. Now the second thing I was going to name was this. What does the hymn writer say about it? It's a beautiful couplet of the hymn, you know. thou shalt obtain the blessing yet. Jesus will not thy cries forget. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Now this blessed prospect, you see, before the child of God, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now this is what the Lord has said, not what I've said. They shall obtain joy and gladness. What an exchange, isn't it, for the child of God. Instead of the sorrow and the sighing, there'll be joy and gladness. We think of what is recorded in this blessed prophecy. And it's a parallel word, really, in Isaiah 61. What does the Lord say? To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. You may say, beauty for ashes? Yes, poor soul. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Oh, think of those exchanges. Well, may the Lord grant to us those blessed exchanges that are found in our text. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And there may be those of you tonight that have many sorrows, many sighing. But may this blessed prospect be granted to you. Joy and gladness in sweet exchange for it all. And only the Lord can do it. And when the Lord favours you with it, poor soul, what'll be the response in the sinner's heart? They're about to glorify his precious name. They're going to crown him Lord of all.